I want to ask you a question. This is a different sort of a session for sure. Some of them are more technical, methodological, topical, that sort of thing. And some of them are just more for the counselor's life. And that's what this particular presentation is all about. And just think about this question. What qualifies you to really be an effective counselor? Or what qualifications do you need? Is it to have attended all of the right schools? Or is it to have read all of the books? Is it to have memorized the entire Bible? Is it to know the answer to every question? Is it to have counseled every possible case? Is it to have gone to every one of the seminaries? Is it to have just be a theological genius who has read and interacted with every theological idea that has ever been discussed or written? Is that what we need in order to be qualified to counsel? And the reason I raise silly questions like that is I do recognize it's possible to come to an event like this and actually walk away discouraged in the sense that you hear so many things in sessions, you talk to so many different people, and you walk away with the list of, I don't know this, I don't know this, I don't know this, I need that, I need that, I need that. And conferences like this can actually be counterproductive if we're not careful. And I think that belief is harmful for a lot of reasons. Well, I don't have enough, I don't have enough, I can't really counsel until I blah, blah, blah. Because it fails to value the things that are especially important to God. And I just want to remind all of us in this particular session that one of the essential ingredients of effective counseling is the character of the person doing the work. And I don't want to minimize study. I'm kind of in the conference business, and so I don't want to minimize preparation, training, and all of that. But I just want to remind us not to underestimate the power and the efficacy of a changed and changing life. And so that's what I want to do in this particular session, is to talk about one of those essential character qualities. So would you please open your Bible now to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. And if you have been tracking with the teaching schedule, you may have noticed that I have been asked to speak on the matter of patience. And when you saw that, you might, if you know me personally, thought, that's got to be a misprint. Surely they didn't ask him to speak on the matter of patience. Well, that's what I thought at first myself. Pastor Green and Pastor Folden and Idris Olson, they get together and put this teaching schedule together. So I have absolutely nothing to do with it at all. And they might ask me at some point along the way, and our staff will tell you that I generally don't listen to things until I think I really need that information. So just because we may have talked about it doesn't necessarily mean I was paying any attention in that meeting at all. But when I finally recognized that they had assigned that to me, at first I thought, well, they're just messing with my head. I mean, they're not really going to ask me to speak on that. They just want me to sweat for a while by telling me that. And then at some point, they will explain to me what they're really going to have me speak on. But the retraction never came. Then the recurrent nightmares started. We're right about it at this point in the presentation. A whole series of Greyhound buses pull up in front of Faith West, filled with my former counselees, and you kind of hear the sound of the air brakes going tss, like that, and then the doors of the buses open and silently file in all of my counselees from the past, and they just line the walls, and they scowl at me, just daring me to speak on this subject. And then when I get started, they start mocking me in the nightmare, of course. You weren't very patient with me. Remember what you said in that particular situation. Remember you got upset with me, blah, blah, blah. Then they start throwing pieces of rotten fruit at me, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, it's a terrible, terrible nightmare. That's actually an exaggeration. But here's the point I'm making. If a person can't speak on a topic until he has mastered it, I quit. Okay, I'm just telling you right now, I quit. In fact, I'm convinced I couldn't speak on anything. Anytime, anywhere. In fact, in ministry, it's amazing how often I find myself just running to Romans 5:20, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And so I'm speaking on this topic not because I think I have mastered it. In fact, apparently a sovereign God thought I needed to remind myself of these matters again. But that's what this is all about, an imperfect person who needs to work on patience too, leading us in a conversation about what Scripture says about patience. Is that fair? So let's start. Let me just read a couple of verses to take a running start at our text. But 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12, where Paul said, "We request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in love for because of their work. Live in peace with one another." Now, here's our key passage. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with all men. Now, that's what we want to talk about, is what does it mean to be patient with all men? And I would encourage you already. I would encourage you already to begin asking questions like this. Are you a patient person? Are you a patient counselor? And what about your patience with your spouse or with your children or with your co-workers or with your elders and your deacons or with your friends or with your fellow church members or with your in-laws? I mean, just fill in the blank. Are you a patient person? And then you could also start asking questions like this. What are the situations in which you struggle with patience? Or who are the people in your life with whom you're most easily impatient? Or this, are you more patient today than you were 5 years ago? You going forward in this area or are you going backwards? Is this particular characteristic one of your weaknesses or is it one of your strengths? Is this issue making you a better counselor or a worse counselor? Now, to answer some of these questions, maybe we need some more information. So maybe we just need to talk about what do we actually mean, or more importantly, what does the Scripture mean when it even talks about patience? So let's start even from the word itself. The word translated patience in this passage and in many places in the word is the term makrothumeo. Makrothumeo. It's one of the many places in the Word of God where you just see the beauty and the precision of the Greek language coming through. Macro, of course, means long or extended. Thumos means temper or anger or passion, many times expressed in sinful ways. So patience could literally be defined as holding off sinful expressions of anger for a long period of time. That's a literal translation of this term, holding off sinful expressions of anger for a long period of time. Now, we're actually in a little bit going to expand and sharpen that definition a bit because the Bible actually helps us to do that, but that's a good starting place. Makrothumeo, holding off sinful expressions of anger for a long period of time. Of course, you could put right alongside this James 1, 19 and 20, which is a great passage on this concept. Let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. Now, because this is such an important quality for believers to possess, it's not surprising that we find this word used a lot of different times in the Scripture. And so when you bring those parallel uses in, you start to get a more robust idea of what is God talking about regarding patience. Here's an example of makrothumeo in Luke 18:7, which helps us understand it means delayed long. Luke 18:7, "And now will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night, and will he delay long over them?" Well, there's our word. Delay long is makrothumeo. Now we're going to come back especially to that particular verse because the context actually provides some interesting balance to everything that it is we're talking about. But this is a key point in the matter of patience. Something is being delayed. When you're a patient person, something is being delayed for a, a long period of time. Another parallel use is Hebrews 6:15. And so having patiently waited